welcome back. More of the Connor Appert Show on 1620 The Zone, 1620thezone.com. Creighton Blue Jays off to the Sweet 16, where they will meet Princeton. When you go to the Sweet 16, you usually think, oh man, it's time to test your mettle against some of the powerhouse programs in the country. 15-seeded Princeton is awaiting Creighton in Louisville, Kentucky. And let's talk about some Princeton basketball with Kyle Franco of the Trentonian, who joins us now over the phone. Kyle, how are you, my friend?
Good. I'm doing well. I'll tell you what, thanks for having me. Been quite the last 10 days here in central New Jersey, you know, starting with the Ivy League tournament, which was hosted by Princeton. And, of course, they won that to get their spot in the NCAAs. And then, you know, what an incredible week. Wins over Arizona and Missouri. It's pretty surreal, pretty incredible on campus right now.
Did you make the trip out to Sacramento?
I did not, but I will be in Louisville for the game on Friday night.
Okay. So, two games out there. The Arizona one where, it's 59-55. And then, really, a pretty thorough takedown of Missouri in the second game there of the NCAA tournament. What did you see that was maybe different in order to get that win against Arizona? Like, what kind of game was that to you to in order to pull that 15-2 upset?
Yeah, well, it was the one thing Princeton does very well that you don't think of normally of a 15 seed or an Ivy League team is Princeton is very physical as a team. They match up physically. The kid Caden Pierce has been a walking double-double for about a month now. Tosin Awoma can guard 1 through 5. And there's a toughness about this Princeton team. It's not necessarily one of those things that you can measure with the analytics. But that's something that's much different about this team from ones in the past. And, I think just the way they physically matched Arizona, they basically matched them, went even with them on the board. And then you look at the Missouri game, Princeton just crushed Missouri on the boards, plus 14. They had 16 offensive rebounds in the game, which led to second chance opportunities. That's really a big thing. It's something that they do well, and it's something to watch in this game on Friday night. Can Princeton continue to control the board the way it has against two high major opponents?
Were you surprised at that level of physicality translated into, a couple high major teams in the NCAA tournament?
If you would ask me that earlier in the year, I would have said yes. As the year went on, I would have no, because this kid Pierce, Ivy League Rookie of the Year, he's a star in the making in that league. He's a kid who, his older brother plays for the Indianapolis Colts. Was a wide receiver at Cincinnati and now with the Colts. And he plays bigger than his size. He's 6'6". He goes up, he gets the ball with two hands. Keyshawn Kelman is 6'9", 250, a legit 250. So he can kind of bang down there with bigger guys. And then certainly Tosin Awoma, who's a guy who every time he steps on the floor, he can put up numbers close to a triple-double. And then their guards get down and rebound too. I think they just sort of had to come into their own a little bit. There was a lot of turnover with the roster, just in terms of they had three starters who they lost to the transfer portal as graduate transfers, because you can't have grad players in the Ivy League. One of those guys went to Michigan, another one went to Colorado, and one of them went to Belmont. So, you had to replace a lot of talent from a team that won the regular season title outright last year. And actually, funny enough, I thought last year's team was better and was the one that had a chance to go to the Sweet 16. So it just took some time, and you could really see them at the end of the year starting to find their groove and playing their best basketball right now.
And Mitch Henderson's been at Princeton for, 10 years now, I think?
12 years, plus he was a player there.
Right, so he's been around for a long time. Like, how is, and a lot of times when a team, a lower seed goes and makes a run in the NCAA tournament, all of a sudden other people come calling. Like, what's, how have the last couple days been for the stock of Mitch Henderson?
I think pretty good. Like you said, you get a couple, a couple wins in the NCAA tournament, and now everybody knows your name, right? And yeah, you become one of the hot names. We'll see what happens. I know the focus right now is on Creighton and trying to win a Sweet 16 game. Look, he's also a Princeton guy through and through, right? Yeah. He went here. He's been part of some of their most iconic moments. His family is, settled here. He's got a good thing going. He knows the kind of player he wants and needs to be successful in the Ivy League. You know, they've got one back-to-back regular season titles. So again, of course, I think that's natural. But again, I also think he's settled it at Princeton and would have no problem, you know, continuing this good thing he's got here.
Well, it's sort of been a whirlwind, but what's the sense you've gotten from him or anybody else over there about the matchup that they're going to see with Creighton?
Yeah, well, they know this is tough. You know, Kalkbrenner's the kind of guy who you just don't see in the Ivy League. 7'1", he protects the rim. You know, you can put him in the pick and roll and lob it up to him. You know, Creighton, they got guys who can make shots. You know, Shireman, of course, is a grad transfer. You know, Alexander shoots the three at over 42%, and Nembhard was just terrific against Baylor the other day, 30 points. He's a tough guy to guard. So they know this is going to be tough. And the other thing is, look, Creighton's got a week to prepare for Princeton now. And once you win those first two games, you're not sneaking up on anybody anymore. Like they're going to have you scouted inside and out for this game. But look, at the same time, you know, Creighton's got to guard Princeton too, and Princeton does some very unique things offensively that make them tough to stop.
You know, I would have said, and the thing about Arizona, why people might not be particularly surprised or really surprised. I mean, Arizona has. And they're a really good team, and you mentioned a big man. I mean, Omar Ballo, Arizona and Creighton played each other in the Maui Invitational Final, and Ballo, you know, went off in that game. And, you know, but you look at that team, and it's not the most athletic team in the world. It's just not. They're really skilled, and they're really talented. And then you sort of take that, and maybe that's how Princeton sort of was able to do some of the things that they wanted to do on the defensive side of the ball. When you look at Creighton compared to Missouri, compared to Arizona, just from an athletic like profile standpoint, do you see anything that sort of pops off the page? I don't know that they're, you know, that much more athletic than some of these other teams from a talent standpoint. What do you sort of see?
Yeah, and one of the interesting things that they did against Arizona that I don't know they'll be able to do against Creighton is they really backed off the two big guys, Ballo and Tubelis, and they basically said, we dare you to make mid-range shots, you know, more so with Tubelis. And look, he got his 22 points, but it was kind of a quiet 22, and they shut off everybody else. I mean, those two guys in that Arizona game combined for 35 points. The rest of the team scored 20. So that was a defensive strategy that they employed. And then, you know, against Missouri, I think it was more a better matchup for Princeton because in terms of, you know, size, and athletic, you know, the size matchup in Missouri, not a good rebounding team. And I think they knew that they had an advantage there on the glass, and that certainly showed. You know, again, Creighton, tough matchup, plays in a tough league, the Big East. And I'll be interested to see what Princeton does here defensively. But they know it's going to be tough. These are, you know, big guys, skilled guys, guys who can make 3-point shots.
Big picture, I want to get your thought on this. Kyle Franco from the Trentonian on the Princeton beat is with us here on the Connor Happer Show on 1620 The Zone. It feels like they, you know, you're 15 beating a 2, and then you advance to the Sweet 16, and it still feels like for whatever reason that Princeton hasn't had like a moment in this tournament. Is that what's sort of missing and the missing piece from them? Because it doesn't feel like, you know, it's 15 seed going to the Sweet 16. It's a huge story. But it doesn't quite seem like they've captured like the national attention, like the Cinderella stories of the past that we've heard. It could be a product of a lot of different things. I'm curious to sort of get your thoughts on why you think that might be the case.
Yeah, I think there's two things. One, there was another team in its own state who won an upset as a 16 seed over a 1 seed.
No doubt.
Fairleigh Dickinson that kind of captured the imagination. You know, another thing is I think it's Princeton, right? Like when you have a Fairleigh Dickinson or, for example, a St. Peter's last year, these are schools that most people have never even heard of. They're like these kind of gritty urban area, you know, tiny schools.
Yep.
And then here's Princeton. Well, everybody knows Princeton, you know, like so to me, maybe that is a little bit what's different about it. And look, they didn't have like a signature. It wasn't like there was a signature buzzer beater.
Nope.
They totally took apart Missouri in that second game. But no, I just think it was maybe overshadowed a little bit by what Fairleigh Dickinson did against Purdue, that they were kind of the big story. Now Princeton goes out and beats Creighton on Friday night. Now you mm-hmm. have your moment, though.
What's the best story on this team? Is it just sort of, you know, hitting a little bit of a lull there in February and then rattling off, you know, six games in a row now? Or is it an individual player? Like, What's the thing you're thinking about if you're thinking about big picture Princeton basketball right now?
Yeah, well, look, I'm thinking about a guy like Tosin Awoma, You know, he's a guy who I said at the beginning of the tournament, look, if they're going to pull an upset over in Arizona or get to the Sweet 16, that's a name that you're going to know. I mean, he's such a great story, too. He's a kid. He's a 6'8", point forward. He's from Newcastle, England. You know, he was a guy who was, you know, came to basketball late. He didn't start playing until he was 14 years old. And, you know, all of a sudden he grew really tall and he was really good. And his dad and his coaches started sending, you know, film and letters to Ivy League schools. And Princeton was the first one to answer. You know, the associate head coach went over there and saw him. And they're like, okay, we got to get this guy. And then they, you know, they bring him over. You know, the tournament gets canceled that first year. The Ivy League doesn't play his second year. So here's this guy, and nobody really knows all about him, that much about him. And here they go. Here he is. They're going to play him as a point forward, point center his junior year. And he wins unanimous Ivy League Player of the Year. He's got, you know, NBA scouts are here in Princeton to look at this kid. They're curious about him. You know, he backs it up again with another fantastic season. And everything that they do offensively revolves around him. He's such a unique player because of his size, his skill set, his usage rate. I like to describe him as the sun, and everybody else is like in his orbit. And look, he's a guy too who, you know, he's got to be in the transfer portal at the end of the year because you can't have grad transfers in the Ivy League. So somebody's going to get very, very fortunate, you know, by being able to bring him in next year to their program.
Well, he's really interesting. And man, that's a good point too. He doesn't, you know, he's only shot 26 threes on the year. Like, he's not going to stretch you out a whole lot, but I guess what does he do in particular that makes him sort of such a unique matchup? And I guess when they've played different types of teams this year and even in the NCAA tournament, what are the things that he sort of fares well against?
Yeah, well, he handles the ball. Like, that's the big thing, is right. So when you think of Princeton, you know, the first thing people always want to say is, oh, it's the Princeton offense. And like, yes and no, right? This is not death by a thousand backdoor cuts anymore, where they're going to hold the ball for 29 seconds and take a shot at the end of the shot clock. You know, they will push the tempo. You know, they'll hunt shots, they'll hunt three-point shots early in the clock when available. But you still see the principles, right? They throw it to Tosin at the elbow or the elbow extended. And what he does well is he can back guys down, or he can turn and face and go by guys. And he's a terrific passer. So if you try to dig on him or you try and help on him and bring a double team, you know, he's going to throw it out, you know, to an open shooter. You saw a little bit in the Missouri game. Missouri tried to press him. And at times, Tosin would just bring the ball up, and he'll go by his guy, and then you got to step in and help, right? And then he lays it off to a guy in the dunker spot, or he throws it out for a three-point shot. That's what makes him so challenging to guard, is that because of his ability to pass the ball, and then he's a good finisher around the basket. He finishes with both hands, uses his body well, strong lower half, you know, a lot of, you know, head fakes, pivots to get you off balance, you know, and he's just such a unique guy. And then they put everybody else around them. And if they're making shots, they're really tough.
Hey, Kyle, we appreciate it, man. Great stuff. And enjoy Louisville this weekend.
Yes, thank you. I appreciate you having me.
That is Kyle Franco of the Trentonian. Yeah, that's an interesting matchup. And Princeton is that. I didn't know that little bit about grad transfer bit.
Yeah, that feels not insignificant.
He's going into the portal automatically if he wants to continue to play college basketball, or he could just not. But yeah, that's sort of interesting as well. Creighton is in the neighborhood of a 9 to a 10 point favorite as you look at it right now. It's a little bit of pressure to go up against. You're just expected to go into the next round.
And it's not gonna be a pushover. Like, they're gonna give you a game. They're gonna battle.
Yeah, I mean, I am curious because I do think Creighton's sort of, you know, precision, and frankly, it comes down to being able to shoot the ball. If they have a good day shooting, then you're probably gonna be fine. But if you don't, then, you know, Creighton's gonna have to really try and grind one out. I think that's what, that's obviously what they're trying to do to you. They beat Arizona in the 50s, 58-55. So if you catch them on a bad day, then, you know, Creighton's going to really have their hands full. It's a team that's dangerous. That's for sure. That's good stuff from, Kyle.
He had Creighton scouted very well.
He sure did.
Yeah.
He sure did. We'll take a break. Josh has the odd news on the other side on 1620 The Zone. Well, speaking of the significant tournament, Throwing in some bets this weekend. Protect yourself against upsets with Bracket Parlay Insurance from the FanDuel Sportsbook. Right now, all customers can get up to $25 back each day if your parlay of three legs or more, falls one leg short. So you build your own for this weekend. You got Creighton. You got a couple others. If one of them falls short, you are insured up to $25. How about that? With a parlay, you could turn a small bet into a slam dunk. And with cash out, the FanDuel Sportsbook, you're calling the shots. You can close out your bet whenever you want to before the game is over. Just sign into your FanDuel Sportsbook account or go to FanDuel.com/Happer to sign up today. FanDuel.com/Happer. Make every moment more with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. 21 and over present in Iowa. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Max bonus bet $25 per day unless otherwise specified. Restrictions apply. See full terms at FanDuel.com/sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
Hey, Drew Scott here.
And I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.